First scripture reading is from Luke, chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a servant whom he valued highly and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them, but when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. When those who have been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Through this, he received approval as righteous, God himself giving approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would approach God must believe that God exists and that God rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For we look forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, with Sarah's involvement, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of the heaven, and as innumerable as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
So, what does it take to please God? Some people think that the way that you please God is through ritual. You chant or say certain prayers. You light some incense or candles. You do some sort of ritual to please God. But that's not what the Bible says pleases God. Some people think that the way to please God is through rules and regulations. You make a list of those things you are supposed to do, and you make a list of the things you're not supposed to do. And if you do the things on your do list and don't do your things on the not do list, then God says you're okay. But that's not what the Bible says. Some people think the way to please God is through religion. You observe certain holy days. You go to church regularly, you participate in communion, you sing to the sound of organ or piano or electric guitar, and you have a spontaneous feeling of great emotion. Or you study, maybe even you fast methodically to reach a certain plane of serenity. And God says, you're on my A-list. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God is not interested in ritual or rules or regulations. God is not interested in how on fire or how serene you feel. God is interested in a relationship with you so that you can become the person God is calling you to be. Or as one church sign put it, God wants full custody, not just weekend visits. The Bible says it's impossible to please God unless you have one thing, faith. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is a gift that God gives those who are seeking God. And then we're supposed to develop and build on that faith. And how do we do that? Well, the first thing I can say about faith is that it was visualizing the future in the present. It is being certain of what we do not see. It is being confident of what is to come because it is in God's hands. We often say, well, I'll believe it when I see it. But God says, you've got it all backwards. Some things, well, you have to believe in order to see it. Whether you're an architect planning a building or an artist creating a sculpture or a medical researcher trying to find a cure for a deadly disease, you have to believe it before you see it. All these things require faith. You have to believe it is possible in advance, long before it ever will be possible. That's what the Bible says faith is, believing when we don't see it. It all starts out when someone believes the non-existent, unseen, unknowable is possible. Along the journey of faith, we all have our doubts and feel the weight of the heavy responsibility. And at times we wonder if we've lost our mind trying to dream of doing something big or beautiful. But if we bolster each other with a blazing spark of genuine faith in God's plan and in God, in each other, it is truly amazing what we can do with God. I had a congregation for 10 years that was made up 100% of retired people. They were the number two giver by percentage of budget in the entire presbytery. They did amazing work. They took care of each other. They were tiny, but they were amazing, small but mighty. Right now, UPB needs to envision a future for this church, for this community, for our world, not based on what we can see or who we are, but based on faith and who God is, and what God has in store. Another way of growing our faith in God is to obey when God tells us to go and do. One example of that Hebrews points out is Noah. What would you think if God came to you and said, I'm going to start over, so you build an ark, gather your family, and also every species, and wait for the rain? Would you have any doubts? Well, go ahead and try that on your spouse or on one of your neighbors and see how that goes. In Hebrews, it tells us that it was by faith that Noah built an ark to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about something that had never happened before. Faith, the Bible says, is obeying when I don't understand it. The second example of faith is Abraham, and our text from Hebrews says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to go out to a country God had promised to him. He left his own country without being aware of where he was going. Abraham is about 75 years old when God calls him. and living in what is now Iraq, and in the wonderful city of Ur, which was one of the wonders of the ancient world. I think it had over 100,000 people. Very sophisticated. And we're going off into where? When Abraham was about to collect Social Security and settle into a nice retirement, God calls him into social insecurity. Get ready, Abraham. At age 75, you're finally ready for the adventure I'm calling you into. Everything else was just getting you ready for this. You're going to be the father of a whole new nation, so get on with it. Can you imagine the type of faith Abraham and the people who followed him had? Can you imagine describing this to your wife, your husband? Where are we going? Well, to some place we've never been. How long will it take us to get there? Don't worry, God will let us know when we get there. How will I recognize the right place? God knows the place and God will tell us. Would you go? The Bible is filled with over 1,000 commands to obey. And every time God asks us to do something, it is a test of faith. Am I going to believe God or what I can see, feel, or understand? Am I going to do what God tells me to do, or am I going to do what I think is the right thing to do? See, faith always involves risk-taking. I know there's those of us who jump into risk like, yay, the skydivers. And then there's the rest of them who are down on the ground crew going, I don't know about that. Many of us want a guarantee of success before we will obey God. But God often exists that we base our obedience on faith. God wants us to believe when we don't see it and to obey when we don't understand it yet. Because Abraham obeyed when he didn't understand it, he became the father of a new nation called Israel and also the Arab people. And many people are blessed because of him. Now, one of the most difficult lessons about faith to learn in our materialistic country is that giving and faith go hand in hand. Have you ever known a person who had a deep faith who was not also a generous person, and vice versa? God uses our finances to test our faith. Have you ever had to choose between giving to the church or paying a bill? That's a test of faith. God is saying, who are you going to trust? Me to take care of you? Or are you going to try to do this by yourself? In Hebrews 11, the first person listed is Abel. And it says, it was faith that made Abel's offering to God a better sacrifice than Cain's. Through his faith, God approved of his giving. Abel is an example of faith, not because of how much he gave. Actually, Cain gave more, but how he gave it. See, God doesn't care about the amount, but God does care about the attitude of giving. Remember, Jesus held up a widow who gave 2 pennies and said that was the example of faith because she gave both pennies. She could have saved one, but she gave them both in faith. I think many of us would find her level of faith a hard act to match, don't you think? You see, there are 2 ways to give. You can give by faith, or you can give by fear. Faith in what God will provide, or fear of what you will not be able to provide for yourself. You can give by reason, or by revelation. Reasoning how the stock market is going to do, or the revelation of God's love and care for us. One of these ways is the way of faith, and one is not. Perhaps we need to encourage each other to grow in our faith, to share our experiences. I can't tell you how many times God has provided when all seemed lost and impossible. How about you? Do you have any experiences of God getting you through a financial crisis? Maybe we need to hear some of these stories during our stewardship season. Faith is giving because you are confident that God will provide for you. If we think back to the, now these days it's getting easier and easier, to think back to the terrible days of World War II. During the London Blitz, a father holding his small son by the hand was running from the house that had been struck by a bomb. In the front yard was a deep shell hole from another bomb long ago. And so seeking shelter as quickly as possible, the father jumped into the hole and held up his arms for his son to follow. And terrified, yet hearing his father's voice telling him to jump, the boy replied, "I can't see you." But the father, looking up and seeing the silhouette of his son with the red burning building behind, said, "But I can see you. Jump." The boy jumped because he trusted his father. The Christian faith enables us to face life or meet death not because we can see, but because of the certainty that we are seen. Not because we know all the answers, but because we are known. Amen.